Thank you, honorable members, and welcome. Delegates from AMSCO, the Cartel Control Board, BOD. We are going to start with presentation of AMSCO. And according to my program, you have half an hour to make your presentation. And thereafter, honorable members will interact with the presentation, maybe for 45 minutes. And then we'll have a cartel control board. You'll be given the same time, half an hour. And on the program, where we are saying that the chairperson of the, we're supposed to say the chairperson of the cartel control board, not chairperson of the AMSCO control board. If we can all correct that, then we will then we'll have the members again interacting with the presentation. And then we will have the DOD on second quarter expenditure report. Then we will be done with all the presentations. I'm going to release AMSCO after making their presentation. And it will be in that order. Cartel Control will make its presentation and we'll release them, and the DOD, and then we'll release you. And I hope you are, this is our last meeting this term. Not this year, we still have another term as Parliament. Our year ends at the end of March. So we hope, depending on what interaction we have with you, we hope we may have to visit some of you in the next term, either for oversight or further interaction. Then we wanted to say something from DOD. Let us just remind each other again. My name is Temu Timele, chairperson of this portfolio committee. Honorable Mayenia, in that order.
My name is David Mayenia. I am a member of the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans and the Standing Committee on Defense.
Sheikh Issa, member of the Portfolio Committee.
I'm leading the DOD delegation, Chief of Defense Policy Strategy and Planning.
Muchoko Sinne, Company Secretary, AMSCO.
Karapoko CFO, AMSCO. Wofiso Ramsili, Board Member, AMSCO.
John Jarve, Non-Executive Director, AMSCO.
Sipho Mbanazi, Acting CEO of AMSCO.
General Mutau, Chairperson of AMSCO.
Are we done? Castle. Okay. introduce yourself.
Good morning, Chair. I remember I'm General Nguyen, Chief of
Police. We talk on this.
Oh,
we're not recording.
Once more, good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. I'm General Nguyen, Chief of Logistics. And I have with me.
Morning, sir. My name is Audrey Abeloff. I'm a member of the Coastal Control Board appointed by the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans. Thank you.
I'm Captain Crossman Walker, Coastal Manager.
I want you all to speak into this mic.
I'm Captain Francois Moko, Castle Manager.
My name is Mandel, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Ministry.
My name is Stephanie Schumer from AMSCO.
Good morning, chairman and members of the committee. My name is Dumisa Ilaza. I'm with Defense Department. Thank you.
Good morning, sir. My name is Bonnie Ingebrecht. I'm the Chief Director of Budget Management, Department of Defense.
Morning, sir. I am Brigadier General Chichi Kundu, Director of Planning in the NDF.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. I am Rear Admiral Alan Green. I'm leading the SANDF delegation.
Morning, Mr. Chair. I'm Colonel Kurt van Heemster, SANDF. I am the SSO control in terms of performance information reporting.
Morning, Chairperson and members. I'm Seth Makani, acting CFO for Defence.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members. My name is Paul Fanafenta from the Department of Defence.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm Lisbeth Ratton from Defence.
Thank
you. Morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Blake Mahoy. I'm with the Department of Defence.
Thank you very much. We will now ask AMSCO to do their presentation. I'm not sure as to whether you want to do the opening general, the chairperson of the board, and then we'll take it from there. You synchronize with my watch. 7 minutes.
Chairperson, Honorable Miller, thank you very much once more for giving us the opportunity to present this morning. We are presenting this morning as required by law, and above all, we are presenting this year because we are presenting our strategy to you, and we therefore try to solicit your usual support in the execution of the strategy, and we are going to beseech you to actually pick up on the strategic issues which we are going to try and highlight, which we would like actually to engage members on those strategic issues, because these are the issues which you are likely to meet from time to time in the bread and somewhere else. And we therefore wish you to focus your attention on the strategic questions which we are going to be raising. Mr. McConnell will be making the presentations, and we are open to questions thereafter. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. In order to save time, as we are given 50 minutes, I'm not going to go through the introductory part of the presentation, which is the AMSCO mandate, AMSCO Board of Directors, AMSCO functions. I'll go straight to AMSCO strategy. The strategy of AMSCO. In developing the strategy, the following was considered. AMSCO's legislation mandate, as contained in the AMSCO Act, the fact that that the creation of AMSA as a company is meant to insulate government from liabilities for AMSCO's act. This is important to ensure that the government is not unduly drawn into acquisition controversies. The strategic environment in which AMSCO operates, as well as the fact that AMSCO to deliver its mandate effectively, efficiently, and economically, a strengthened organization and capable South African defense industry that is sustainable are required. We then went through to the main considerations, which are as follows: a building of a strong state production capacity, building a strong regional outlook and marketing effort on the continent, developing strong research capacity on the continent, supporting the local defense-related industry, ensuring the defense-related industry is not controlled from outside, ensuring that the national strategic technologies are protected. The financing of the cooperation, playing a leading role in developing industry, leading efforts of commercializing and diversification of the defense technologies. Still continuing with the main consideration, they are as follows: use expertise to support government acquisition efforts, participating in the government job and skills development efforts, using acquisition power to liberate support for industry participation in main acquisition from foreign suppliers, ensuring that stakeholders support the strategy and activities of the corporation, exploiting the goodwill of countries of the continent, building of the research capacity of the country, building strategic relationships internationally for marketing and research purposes, ensuring the region and the continent is aware of the perspective of armed forces in acquisition. We then came up with four pillars of the strategy, which is based on the legal mandate of armed forces. The first pillar being the state production capacity, the second one being the national private production capacity, the third being the national research capacity, and the fourth being a diversification or commercialization of the defense, intellectual property, and technology. In explaining the pillars, we don't go through the following points. Genel produces critical strategic and essential systems and solutions that cannot be compromised. Equally, AMSCO should direct the industrial participation of the South African defense in all foreign acquisition of significance. AMSCO has an important leverage on the sector, and its decisions should ensure that lost capacities are recovered and that South African companies lead to the local defense industry. AMSCO facilities are of strategic nature and should therefore be maintained and developed. AMSCO should identify and support institutes that undertake research that would be useful to it, and AMSCO's international intellectual property should be protected and diversified for general use. We then proceeded to look at the critical success factors, which I follow. Running AMSCO as a business, the corporate restructuring of the organization, ensuring sustainable funding model, improved balance sheet, and then we went to building a strong region outlook and cooperation, and implementation of the strategic projects, such as building of truck, utility helicopter, missile system, track system, and shipbuilding. Building a strong international partnership. Going through the organizational and the structural implications. One of them was at the board level, which is the board of directors. The board of the corporation will be affected in the following manner: the strategic direction of the corporation, the tenor board of the acquisition for clients, committees of the board, which I follow over and above the two committees that existed previously, business development and investment committee, research and development committee, acquisition committee,
Marketing and Industry Support Committee. Then going to the next level, which is the executive structure, the acquisition department, as well as the research and development department, business development and investment development department, marketing and industry support department. Those are also departments that were added to existing departments in Armstrong. The strategic focus is as follows. The strategic focus areas are based on the strategy of the corporation and the following underpin the successful execution thereof. The first one being funding and growth. The second one being the people and capabilities. The third, organizational effectiveness and efficiency. And the fourth one, the stakeholder relationships. Starting with the first strategic initiative, funding and growth, the challenge being insufficient funds to execute the mandate, and how the strategy seeks to address the challenges is as follows. A financing of Armstrong through the following, which is service charge, capability maintenance fee, royalties from the intellectual property, and investment income. New funding model was developed with the focus of ensuring a sustainable organization. The other one is growth income generation, which includes expectation of commercial opportunities in different areas, and marketing using excess capacity of strategic facilities from which external income can be generated, as well as management and exploitation of intellectual property. Under that, improving IP management based on the weaknesses identified, developed a new IP management policy, also seeking opportunities for IP exploitation. Another one being the review of 3-year service level agreement with the Department of Defense, including performance agreements and rates for services. So far, a new SLA has been drafted, agreement to finalize with the Department of Defense. The second strategic initiative, which is people and capabilities, the challenges are resourcing of the organization through skills retention, renewal of HR, which is human resources, and repositioning the organization's HR capacity. How the strategy seeks to address the challenges through following organizational restructuring and recruitment of required capabilities, and under that, formed board committees to strengthen focus areas such as the audit and risk committee, the human resource committees, the social and ethics committees, finance, business development and investment committee, marketing and industry support committee, research and development committee. Also, the organizational structure was developed and in the process of being implemented, which will also resolve the acting position situation. The other one being HR focused, specially on the following: skills retention, skills development, succession plan, partnering with national and international institutes. In that one, we have developed a formal process to implement succession plan. The process of identifying critical positions and potential succession has been completed. Still proceeding with the strategic initiative number 2, which is people and capability. The other one is create a positive and organizational culture. So we have aligned the corporate culture with the strategy, monitor the progress and execution of the cultural audit action plan. A cultural survey has been conducted reflecting a 1% improvement to 68.87%, which is a measurement of the satisfaction of employees. The further areas of concern have been identified for improvement. And the transformation of the organization, employment equity plan has been developed and implemented to deal with the transformation of the organization in accordance with the EE Act. The other one being maintain and extend the capability required to execute the strategy. We have aligned the organizational structure to support the strategy. And then on research and development, a board and committee has been created that focuses on the research and development, identified critical positions for business continuity and growth, implement the skills development and mentoring plan, grow capability in line with the business growth opportunities. Moving over to the third strategic initiative, which is organizational efficiency and effectiveness, that is to address the following challenges, which is operational inefficiency and effectiveness. We're experiencing outdated infrastructure, IT application systems, lack of alignment, integration and efficiency measurement, and how the objective seeks to address the strategy is the following. Determine and improve the effectiveness of the organization, the renewal of the outdated IT application systems, and under that one, we've identified the risk assessment of existing application and skills evaluation and completed and improvement processes. Critical capabilities was installed. Under implement and in-house integrated disaster recovery storage and email archiving solution. Also, the restructured organization units into business entities such as the DocDAT and the AB Logistics. The business plan has been focusing on the sustainability, have been developed and submitted to the board, the necessary approvals assigned to the Minister of Defense. Conduct Dockyard due diligence study and develop an improvement plan in order to address the issues at Dockyard. A high level of assessment at the board level has been conducted to define the problem and challenges in the management and operations of the Dockyard. And then requested information has been sent to the industry for due diligence study. We'll continue with the strategic initiative number four, stakeholder relationships. We seek to address the following challenges, which is local industry support, expanding the market opportunities in the region and the continent, also dealing with the challenge of the negative perception about AMSCO due to the reasons such as the lack of understanding of the corporate legal mandate as well as the processes. How the strategy seeks to address the challenges is as follows. The local industry support, an integrated industry support strategy has been developed. Policy to support growth of local industry such as increased local support, as well as the BBBE, the defense industrial participation, as well as the intellectual property IP. The other one being the stakeholder engagement strategy. Identification and prioritization of key stakeholders has been completed. Planned engagement with the MOD, DOD, the SECDEF as well as the chief of the RNDF and the DNL has been established. Engagement are in process with the SATS, Correctional Services, and the defense industry. Strategic initiative number four, stakeholder relationship. Partnership with the SND, with the SADC as well as the AU countries. We've completed a desktop study identifying opportunities with the SADC as well as the AU countries. Discussions were held with, amongst others, Botswana, Angola, at the AAD show. Discussions have taken place with Senegal as well as Benin. The strategic partnership with international countries. Identified possible strategic partners within the BRIC countries. Discussions have been held with India and Brazil. Further discussions were held with Russia and China at the AD show as well. The AMSCO branding position and marketing of AMSCO. The appointing of the general manager for marketing division and the implementing the strategy of marketing taking place. Under service delivery indicators, In terms of the service level agreement with the DOD, the following performance measurements are agreed to. Contracts will be placed. The time-wise execution of requirements, which is the target, is 90% compliance. Contractual payments made utilizing of available funding, also the target being 90% compliance. The management of a DIP, which is a Defense Industrial Participation Program, execution of obligation in terms of DIP agreement, $350 million of DIP credit, which is the target. Management and execution of defense technology, research, test and evaluation, achievement of contractual milestones, also a target there is 90% compliance. And then arms score, the dockyard, compliance with the performance agreement, cash flow and training, also the target there is 90% compliance. Now moving on to financial performance of organization. The financial overview, financing of the group remains the challenge. In terms of the income statement, financing of the group is mainly through a service fee charged for service, which is 80%, while supplemented by the capability maintenance fee for strategic capabilities, such as the hero test and all the other test evaluation and research capabilities, to 14%, and also the third one being the investment income. The main expenditure as service organization remains personnel and related expenditure, which is 75% to 76%, while IT-related cost represents 12%. Based on the financial model, the group will achieve a profit for a year, which will ensure sustainability and will result in an increase of the shareholders' interest in the group. We're going through the financial overview and the balance sheet. Land and business and building, is reflected in valuation from the new financial year, which reflects a significant increase in the total assets of the group. It's reflected in the financial information included in the corporate plan. The financial information of AB Logistics and Dockyard are reflected as separate entities within the group. After consideration by the board, the decision was taken for AB Logistics to remain in the group until it can prove its own sustainability. A due diligence study is conducted to determine if Dockyard should become a separate entity from AMSCO Group. The group will be financially sound with a debt equity ratio of 20%, while 60% of the total assets are funded through the outside financing. Thank you, Chair and the Honourable Members.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Now, I'll give members, honorable members, an opportunity to interact with this presentation. Honorable Minier.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I wonder, in a word, if you would explain to the committee what you are doing differently. It's a fairly long presentation. In a word, I would like you to explain what it is Arms Corps are doing differently. That's the third question. The second question is, I wonder if you could explain who exactly developed the strategy. Maybe we could speak of the NIA, State Security Agency. Chair. I'll use it. Okay. Let's call Mr. Dennis Blum. See if he can assist on the State Security Agency.
I wonder if you could explain who exactly developed the strategy and whether indeed Arms Corps used consultants in developing the strategy. Because
Okay. Yeah, that's called Joker Light H to come. Try that one. Try that one.
Maybe
yeah, talk about
okay. Should we try this?
And that there are efforts, I quote, to disarm the country of its defense industry. I wonder if you could give us some to back up those, if you like, allegations. Thank you. Any other question from honorable members? Nothing for now. Honorable Mlambo?
Thank you very much, honorable chair. On page 13, on the main considerations, the last bullet, on ensuring that the region and the continent is aware of the exercise of arms in acquisition. I wonder how is AMSCO intending to do that? Has the process started, or is something that they are thinking of doing in the near future? That's one. On page 15 also, on pillars, that's on bullet number 3, in terms of the most capabilities.
Can you press the...
Sorry, honorable chair. Did you get my second question? Thank you. The third one is on page 17. On committees of the board. Has AMSCO already established those committees, or also it's something that they envisage for the future? Thank you very much, honorable chair. Those are my three questions.
I've been just asking myself a question, acting CEO, that why, that I think it's in line with what Honorable Mlambo is asking. Why don't we have a target date in what you set yourselves to do? I think it would have been helpful for you, unless if you're in another document. Thank you. Over to you, AMSCO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a big delegation here, which is going to take turns, and I'm sure they're very anxious to answer questions. And I'm going to allow them to volunteer to answer questions, and myself and the agency CEO will then add or answer those which they didn't answer. Over to you, members of the committee. Do I see volunteers? Yeah.
Good question. I think one key thing is the strategy is a document produced by the board. Therefore, it's called the strategy of the board. Honorable Menir talk of senior AMSCO employees. The senior AMSCO employees are here. The acting CEO is here, the CFO is here, and the company secretary is here. So, he's probably referring to some other employees who in the organization who probably most of them are no longer with us. So I'm not sure who senior employees is talking about who questioning the strategy. But the strategy was developed by the board and no consultants were used. We could talk about other things. I'll let the other members talk. Thanks. What was the relevance of the question, Honorable Menir?
Well, my understanding from media reports is that senior and experienced employees had been given an opportunity to look at the strategy and had determined that the strategy was, and I quote, that there was an abysmal lack of understanding of the business and that whoever developed the strategy had a limited knowledge of the business. I think given that view, I think it was a relevant question.
Perhaps to add to the answer, that we
General? That's what is there?
Yeah.
And there's an emergency.
Yeah. I think we should be careful that even though we like newspapers and media clips, but if we are going to operate according to media sensations and bring it to our work, that is going to create some problems for us. And of course, the media is always looking for trouble. And some of us will always want that trouble and bring it to our work, which for me, Chairperson, it doesn't make sense, and it should not be encouraged.
Before you go on there, Honorable Sam?
The question is very specific, Honorable Chair. Ask clearly, who developed this strategy? Were the consultants involved from outside the organization, or was it actually developed by the board itself? And that question wasn't answered. And I'm asking, why not?
Honorable members, I was of the view that a strategy is presented to us. Now, what honorable members should be helpful on is to see to it what gaps do exist in that strategy. I think that should be our concentration, so that we should be very helpful to this presentation. I think let's tune ourselves into doing that.
In addition, also to reflect on the presentation. Because if you are not reflecting on the presentation and empowering the presentation, I think we are not assisting AMSCO.
Clarify, Honourable Member.
Yeah, this strategy is controversial. I merely wanted to determine, in my opening question is, who is responsible and whether consultants were used. I now know who is responsible. The strategy was evidently developed by the board, and consultants were not used. That is the answer to the question. So when the board starts to explain how it is ARMSCO are going to diversify into tractors, we will know who is responsible. Thank you.
Honorable Chair,
Honorable
Members,
Honorable
Chair, I don't understand what you mean when you say the strategy is controversial. What is it that is controversial? Because the strategy is presented here. They have their vision, they have their action plan. What would be controversial about that?
On the question that you raised, if you say, Honorable Member, strategy is controversial, I expect the member to raise the controversial issues on the strategy. Not basing himself on the paper clips that he has learned, he has read some previous on previous newspapers. But can he bring the controversy that he can identify? Thank you.
Can we get focused? I want you to be helpful. Can we get focused and look at the strategy? Thank you, Honorable Minister. General, you are back in the mainstream.
Thank you very much, Captain. The only thing which I thought is very important for the questions which have been asked is the issue of what do we do differently. If members would have looked at the strategy, we actually state that the functions of AMSCO are actually stated at law. And then it has been the problem of AMSCO in the past that it focused on one, which is the acquisition. And we are saying you cannot discharge the mandate of AMSCO unless you actually prepare yourself and structure to carry out the entire mandate as set out in the Act. And therefore, I think it is important to look at that in that fashion. I agree with members that we've come here to solicit your support in trying to actually make this strategy a living document. and I therefore would appreciate if there are questions which will help us to do that. I'm not sure that AMSCO is saying it's deviating into production. AMSCO is not saying that. AMSCO is saying, at least in this document, we are saying we want to be the champions of commercialization and diversification. That's what we're saying. And that's everything in the strategy is contained into the AMSCO Act of 2003. There is nothing in this strategy which is not contained and supported by the Act itself. So there is no. The other issue really of hostility, we do not know what actually informs that approach that we are hostile to Europe and more amenable to BRICS, because if you look in there, we actually identify countries outside BRICS, and some of them are actually in Europe. I mean, you have got countries like France, Britain, and all that type of thing. These are our strategic partners international. Therefore, there is, you know, we do not know what, perhaps we will be informed what informs that. The threats, Chairperson, threats are based on an analysis, and when you do your analysis, You are dealing with facts. It's a product of analysis. What you see is a product of your analysis of the environment. And this is informed by, also supported by an analysis from the DOD itself. And that's why we come with that analysis. There is no intention of actually seeing ghosts all over the show, but actually to inform you what are you looking at in the world. You look at challenges, you look at who is going to be our competitor, you look at who wants to undercut you. This is a business logic. You have to look at all those things and see who wants to do that. There is no nothing there. Tractor here, Chairperson, we are not talking about tractors to cloud. That's our tractor systems. Tractor systems ranges from vehicles which pushes a vehicle which pushes aeroplanes is a tractor system. The one which pushes aeroplanes, these are systems, tractor systems. We are not talking about cloud. Perhaps if we have got a technology, it would be good for South Africa in a country like Africa to also produce a tractor. But the tractor systems are varied tractor systems which we are talking about. Defense Review Committee, indeed we have engaged the Defense Review Committee. And we want to believe that the latest outcome of the Defense Review Committee, which is informed by the AMSCO thinking, actually is different from the original document which they have, because we have engaged them, and we will continue to engage them, because they are part of the process. I think the last meeting was a month ago. They came to our building to engage with our colleagues in here. The activities of AMSCO in the regions, we have actually, during the AAD, we have thought of using that AAD to talk to a number of participants in there, particularly in Africa, and we were actually not given you a report because of the system of parliament, that we had an AAD which we think was very successful. We made quite a lot of delegations. We didn't mention all of them. We were with African delegations for the first time. An African country was a participant in terms of bringing products on the market. We are engaging these people continuously in terms of doing that. The loss capabilities, this is a very important question, honorable members, because it is one issue where we think we are committed to make sure that those capabilities are actually brought back to us, because they are very strategic. We call these capabilities sovereign capabilities, which no country of note would like to depend on others on those issues. So this is a process which we have engaged, we have started. You might hear in future some international companies. We have no malice intended. We have got our interest as a country at stake. We do not represent anybody. If it is in our interest to have a particular capability being a local capability, we will do so. It doesn't mean we are against other people, but it is our interest which we are trying to defend. Committees of the board, and we think I think as it has been stated, these committees have been appointed, and sitting here, there are chairpersons of the different committees.
which are trying to deal with the different areas. And the target deal, I think, Jefferson, they are in the other document which we handed over to you. I'm sure it's Honorable Manil was referring to. We hope we have summarized.
Thank you very much. Is there any other question that is outstanding? Honorable Manil.
Thank you, Chair. I was just interested in the sort of question that was not replied to in some further analysis and fact and real facts to back up the claim that that there is a sophisticated and underhand effort to keep Africa incapable of defending itself, that there is a concerted effort to undermine the unity and cohesion of the SADC, and that there is an effort to disarm the country of its defense-related industry. Who are these conspirators?
Conspiracy theory.
Unfortunately, Honorable Member, this, as I said, it is an analysis of factors. It is not facts. It's an analysis of factors. If you analyze factors internationally, you come to a conclusion. A conclusion which is made is that there is an effort to undermine the cohesion of that. It is not a fact. It's a product of an analysis. And therefore you don't go and say, yes, there's the facts behind. But for this committee, we are not going to say who is that person, because then it makes no sense. Because if people start saying, you think as we are enemies, I don't think South Africa would like to do that. So it is what we are saying to this committee. We have looked at that, and we looked at the outcome of that analysis, which informs us that people who are going to try and undercut our own companies. That is the conclusion we are making. And therefore, because of that conclusion, then we have come up with a part of our strategy of how we are going to make sure that our industry is protected from that type of outcome. So this is, I think, that's what is going to be useful for to the committee, not the names of who we think is interested and so on. I think that will be our answer. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, put another question. Look, when you do soft analysis on some of the issues, you must just stamp back because you don't know who is who. Then it. When you study your environment, you'll put facts on some of the things, maybe on what you sold and where you did sell. Then you'll do the assumptions. I think that's what you learn at business school. Honorable Issa?
Chair, just a point of order. Are you suggesting that the strategy is based, first of all, on the thumbsuck, then an assumption based on the thumbsuck, and then the strategy?
Okay, Honorable Issa.
Do we continue with the discussion? I'd just like some clarity. I've read through the risk factors, the issues that are mentioned, and the issues that are monitored. Now, just some clarity, because we don't have any report on the actual risk, just mentioned points, so that we can have some understanding and explanation of those risks and what has been done about this risk, and also particularly with the issue of the implementation of strategic projects, what are the business risks to it. Now, has the strategy taken into consideration, Honorable Chair, the defense review process? Because there's no particular chapter that deals with it, because in the last debate that we had in the committee was Denel and Arms Corps. One entity remains two entities. How do they live together? And what happened historically before? And what is being proposed by the defense review? And of course, the whole issue of diversification and saying if it's only strategic and it's not to do with production and it doesn't overlap with the NOLS mandate, those things are not very clear when it comes down to the strategic planning and the consideration of the defense review. So just some further information, explanation of the strategy. I also know that in terms of the information given, there's been also an increased use of consultants. Maybe just clarity in which particular areas were more consultants employed because of an increase in the budget for the use of consultants. There's also a projected profit to be made, and the organization says at the outset that it's undermined because of a lack of funding. It cannot perform its mandate because of lack of money, but it does not display any deficit that actually shows us a profit. So I'm not sure if the strategy is very consistent, because if it undermines your planning and your purpose, then you should always be running short of money, and you should be always asking for more money. Here we find yes, a nice profit that is going to be projected for the forthcoming year. The other one I wanted to raise is the skills erosion within the organization. How is that being addressed? It said it's being managed. Is the plan worked out? Can we be appraised of the actual plan? What is in place? How are they going to deal with the organization? How will they sustain it? If it's such an important organization for our country and for defense, what is exactly being done to ensure that we sustain it properly? That is on the skills erosion. The risk and, of course, arms core and now the overlapping of the mandates, etc. And then I think the issue, we need some clarity also on the proposal being made. AB Logistics has kept within the organization until it becomes sustainable. What is projected for it to become independent, if it does, and how would it sustain itself in the view of the strategy and of the board's view on the matter? Similarly with the dockyard, there's a study. If we can be appraised, how before it becomes relieved of being part of the Arms Corps, that it can actually function as a separate entity, and that we ensure that it can actually be sustained, because that's an important strategic military base site that is maintained by Arms Corps. And if we're thinking of making it an entity on its own, how exactly do we want to achieve that? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sam. Arms Corps, we are going to wrap up. Before you answer, Honorable Meneer, you may ask you a question, because I want us to wrap up.
Chair, I want to come back to the question of the legal authority. The chairperson says that in the past, Arms Corps focused on one aspect of Arms Corps' mandate, and that is acquisition. And it's now time to, if you like, look at the entire mandate. I just want to understand, and let's use the example of the tractors. Arms Corps wants to become the champion of diversity, and one presumably of diversification. And one of the aspects of that presumably is to champion the production of these tractors. My understanding of the legal mandate is Arms Corps would act for the shareholder. So provided the shareholder, which is the Department of Defense, wants to expand or champion a particular industry, then Arms Corps would have the authority to do that. And I read, if you look at Section 4G, that Arms Corps must support and maintain such strategic and essential defense industrial capabilities, resources, and technologies as may be identified by the department. Now, first, I'm not sure that tractors, even the tractors that you describe, are strategic capabilities. And the question is, has the department, or does the department require Arms Corps to champion diversification into tractors? My hypothesis is that your strategy goes beyond the legal mandate which you have. I wonder if you could respond.
I think the colleagues will answer the rest, but I just want to deal with this issue. You see, it's important not to read one section and not read all the sections. Then we'll see. And it's a pity that we didn't start with that, because all these issues, every section within which the Armed Corps operates is in there. That is one section out of nine. There is a section which deals with the commercialization. There's a section which actually also covers Armed Corps to do business. But there's a section which says AMCO may actually maintain businesses which are not viable businesses outside. There are so many sectors. So that's one of them. And I think I want to plead to members that
we should actually look at all the section and not read only one. Because if you read one, then it excludes all other things. So I think we should do that. And I want to say there is also not an overlap of mandate between DNL and AMSCO. There's absolutely not. And members should understand, AMSCO has got a responsibility to ensure that capabilities which are wanted are there inside the country. And therefore, we are champions. It doesn't mean that AMSCO must necessarily be the one which has got all the capabilities. We need to make sure that it happens. We need to support people who want to invest and make sure that we know which industry must be created and what companies therefore are required. So this is a very broad mandate. It is not something which you can say, AMSCO wants to do that. AMSCO is not in the business of producing, but except where nobody can do it. We have got companies which AMSCO runs. Flamengo is one of them. Asmat is one of them. There are many. Protect is one of them. Nobody produces equipment to protect our forces from chemical and biological. Nobody does it because it's not viable as a business. But AMSCO is required by law to maintain such companies. So these are things which members should be aware of. And I think our chairperson, we would like to invite this committee to come and visit AMSCO and visit the defense industry as a whole and see what is contained within AMSCO itself. It's not a theoretical organization. This is a working organization. Thank you very much, and I think
Mr. Chair and Chair, thank you. I just want to come in on the question of the Defence Review Committee.
Switch that one off.
And Arms Corps and engagement with it and the outcomes that are so far produced. In the first instance, the DRC reports are very clear on the question of combining acquisition, which is split between the Defence Department and Arms Corps, into an organization which has been switched in the later draft to this should be, in fact, absorbed into a larger and more clearly defined Arms Corps. So that's that one. In the case of the NEL, they are suggesting that the NEL fall under the Ministry of Defense, Military Veterans, and under Public Enterprise. And as a person who was on the board today, we decided to split these two in 1992. It is amazing to me, returning after nearly 20 years, to find how diverged they have become. We are working as a board and senior management continuously on putting Danelle and ourselves closer together in the working lives of the organization. It's not all plain sailing, but we are certainly trying our best to do that. The DRC report also goes into detail in respect of sovereign capabilities, and it makes pronouncements that are very similar to those which we have made in writing and which the chairman has reportedly made with hostile purpose. The fact of the matter is that we have got sovereign technologies that are in the hands of foreigners now. Right or wrongly, that's where we've ended up. And so a lot of the commentary is about regaining control of that sovereign capability. And if that happens to be pulling them away from European controller, well, that's going to be the case. So we are entirely consistent with what the DRC is in fact saying in that regard. And it is of great concern that we have ended up in this position on certain key capabilities. So it has to be changed. So I think that's all I wanted to say. I can comment on the dockyard of the chairperson of the Finance, Business Development and Investment Committee. The South African Simonstown dockyard as wonderful an icon of naval capability that it has been over a century or more, has fallen way behind what it needs to be. It is a dockyard that is, in terms of its capabilities, 50 years old. Its equipment is old. It's not got the technology suite that it needs to maintain a modern fleet and so on and so forth. So we are in the process of calling on not consultants, but collaborators to help us develop a feasibility study to completely revamp that dockyard, both with the intent of making it function at the level that the modern Navy needs, and that's where the Navy's taken over other people's ships, and is starting up some of its older ships. The dockyard is a serious bottleneck. You can speak to Admiral Marima, I'm sure he will tell you his. So how do we relieve that? It's not just a question of people and field, it's a question of size and capability and throughput and speed of work and so on and so forth. So we are busy with that. And in due course, we will come forward with an overall proposal as to how to make Simonstown Dockyard into a world-class naval and possibly with commercial sideline dockyard in the Southern Hemisphere. Thanks, Jim.
Just to respond to some of the questions, just to close the gap of what some of what has been responded, is that our strategy should be looked at with the full understanding of what AMSCO is supposed to be doing in terms of acquisition. Sometimes acquisition is defined limitedly as just procurement, which is not. Acquisition is right from acquiring the technology in order to be able to satisfy the requirements of the primary client, which is the OT, in terms of the requirements that they'll require currently, and also be in a position to anticipate even the future requirements of our client. And as we do that, we've got enablers that are making us be able to do that. And what we are saying, those enablers are the production capacities that we're talking about in South Africa. Not that AMSCO is going to be involved in production, but we'll be using those enablers such as NL, which is a state production, such as our industry, which is a private sector production. We are talking about research and development. Research and development resides within AMSCO. It resides outside AMSCO CSIR. It resides in the industry. It resides in the universities. These are the things that we're talking about as an enabler to be able to acquire technology. So that's what the strategy is talking about in terms of the separation of those responsibilities. And if you look at the Act, it's covered in the Act in terms of AMSCO being able to do that. I think that the review has also been touched on. But also, if you look at the strategy, just to deal with that question of deficit versus surplus, we are saying there is a challenge of sustaining the organization. So we are coming up with the funding model, which we are saying if we go into this financial model, and in terms of planning according to that financial model, we say then the organization will be in a position to realize a surplus instead of realizing a deficit, because all along we've been in a situation of a deficit. And we're touching on all those areas of how we intend to do that, such as charging the services, such as the issue of using our existing facilities, such as Girotech, in terms of ensuring that we realize excess capacity, such as turning around the dockyard to ensure that they are not only servicing the Navy, but they are in a position to go into commercial environment and realize a commercial viable facility. Such that is not a burden to the DOT in the future. So that is what we're talking about in terms of saying that if we embark on our strategy, we'll be in a position to realize the surplus. In terms of the skill erosion, there's a number of strategies that are reflected in the strategy in terms of what are we going to do to deal with the issue of skills erosion. We're talking about retention of skills in terms of the programs that we have of skills transfer, realizing that in our organization, as well as in the industry, we are suffering from an aging population of our technical, especially those that are experienced. We're talking about things such as mentoring, with a special program of mentoring, and mentoring our people and ensuring that we retain those skills. There's quite a number of programs, such as the program of looking at how we get those skills that are required, such as we've got bursaries, we were supporting schools in science and mathematics, and also internally we've got such an internal training and development plans that we have to ensure that we retain those skills that I wrote. And it's focused to those particular critical skills that are required. I think that those chapters have been dealt with, such as the
Finally, Chairperson, we want to say it's a continuous sector issue. To bring it now to the military, a tractor system, a gun howitzer is pulled by a tractor system, and that is the tractors which we are talking about. Please let's not look only at tractors in terms of plow. Let's look at them in terms of the military. And these tractor systems are required for the military. The gun howitzer, that you are aware that we are continuously trying to improve our G6, the G5, and everything else which has got to do with our field guns. So this is the system which we wanted to, and DINEL is responsible for those sector systems, and we wanted to invest more in sector systems because that's an area of expertise which South Africa can both of, international, and we want to invest more into those type of areas also. Thank you.
Not a potato farm tractor.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
My time is up.
Another question on President Chief, on the issue that on the risk, if you can appraise of the risk issue and the consultants.
Okay. Can I respond to the consultants? I think the cost included is part of external services where we've also included a significant cost for the application system, the renewal of application systems. So that's what the increase in that specific item is. That the provision also made provision for all the costs incurred for maintenance of bodies, all of those things are lying in that specific item you're referring to. But I think the biggest portion is addressing the rest of the one, which is the ICAT application systems. I think that we also spoke in the previous committee to the, we highlighted there. So it's that cost of the renewal, the software, as well as the actual implementation of that software within OSCO. That is the high cost in external services.
I'm not sure, Chairperson. I thought the risk is related to the same issue. Unless we misunderstood.
And I simply ask that in.
Honourable, I would trust you.
I said there are notes made points in terms of the SWOT analysis and of course risk and critical success factors, but we don't have an understanding of those points. If we can just get some overview briefly about those risks, the 11 risks, 9 managed and 2 monitored.
Honorable Mavia, you follow? Yeah, Chairperson, I think we should not squeeze out blood and force water to come out after the blood. And I'm saying that because, Chairperson, we have not requested for a close meeting where we have to get every detail of information. And if we need every detail of information, I think, Chairperson, then towards the end of the term, you should call out for a meeting where we apply for a closed meeting, and then we get in depth in this place. Thank you, Honorable Maria. I'll give you 1 minute.
Chair, I just want to be clear. The issue of strategic technology is not an issue, although this is something we'll get into presumably in another hearing, is how exactly we are going to afford to buy back or regain those sovereign technologies. But the sovereign technologies are not an issue. My question is this. Arms Corps serves a shareholder, and the shareholder is the Department of Defense. Has the Minister of Defense, who represents the shareholder, signed off and approved this strategy?
Yes or no?
We can't answer yes or no. Honorable members will realize that the Minister of Defense has participated in discussing this strategy. And the Minister of Defense signed off what we call a shareholders' compact. Because the shareholder is not the Department of Defense. The shareholder is the government of the Republic. And the government of the Republic is represented by the Minister of Defense. The Minister of Defense every year is required by law to sign what we call a shareholders' compact. In that shareholders' compact, it is clearly indicated what is in the plans of Arms Corps in terms of its strategy. And actually, the first two paragraphs indicate in the latest shareholders' compact indicate that the board of Arms Corps is responsible for developing a strategy for the company, and that this strategy therefore has been developed. And within that shareholders' compact, it puts all the tenets of that strategy, and therefore the minister has signed that. And therefore, there is no question of whether the minister agrees or disagrees on this strategy. And we do not believe so. We think the minister is very much aware. And if we were actually listening to what the minister was saying when he opened the AAD, the minister actually was saying our strategy. Didn't say the strategy of AMSCO. She says, our strategy is to do the following things, and all those things were coming from out of this strategy. And therefore, it is not necessarily an AMSCO strategy. It's a strategy of AMSCO board which is aligned with the strategy of government. And therefore, the minister is that link between us and the government to make sure we are synchronized. And it is government which requires that us to, we must safeguard the strategic technology. AMSCO is an executor of that type of requirement. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think going forward, we will come and visit yourself and do our oversight maybe in the next term. I think honorable members will agree with me. We have been... members have been agitated to visit to do oversight at AMSCO. Thank you very much, AMSCO. We are going to call on the Castle Control Board to do the presentation.
Okay.